理课堂听 class.com
Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Learn more about baseball and especially a female executive making big changes in the game.Hello again, everyone. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom, your window on the world. We've got a very interesting article that we covered our first day yesterday. It's a people article, and it's on Kim Ong, who is a female baseball executive, which is a rarity in the world of sports. And it's on page 12 in your Advanced magazine, and we started yesterday with three panelists, and we've got the same people here today joining me.First is Billy.
Hey, Bill. Hey, Ethan. Hey, Esther. Glad to be here.
Nice to have you here, Billy. You follow baseball and sports quite a bit. Are you a big baseball fan?
I'm a big baseball fan. I like baseball. I follow the Atlanta Braves particularly.
I know here in Asia, I get to see some baseball from the major leagues, but I also get to see, for instance, like the Japanese Baseball League and Korean Baseball League. So there's all different levels.
That's right. It's all good baseball.
Yesterday, we had covered a little bit about Kim Ong and some of her responsibilities. Is there one thing from yesterday's article that you picked up?
Well, the main thing from yesterday's article that I picked up was a little bit of jealousy. Okay, she's got a great job, and I wouldn't mind having it. And it's very impressive what she's done.
Right. Well, I know who else has a great job here at Studio Classroom, and that's Esther. Hello, Esther.
Hi, everyone. It's good to be on the program today. And I like this lady. I think she's a wonderful role model and example for all the ladies out there who, you know, if you want to go into sports or take on an executive position, but...you think it's impossible. Well, it is possible. And this lady, Kim Ong, is the first Asian American, and not just the first, the only Asian American now to hold an executive position for any major league sports organization. She is the vice president and the assistant general manager of the Los Angeles Dodgers, the LA Dodgers.
Well, she had to break down a lot of barriers to get to that point. My thought when I read this article yesterday was...She probably faced a lot of resistance initially. This is a male-dominated sport, and maybe a lot of the executives, when she first came into the game, maybe kind of looked down their nose, we might say, or scoffed at her and thinking, well, who is this woman? What is she trying to do? Maybe get into our business? So I'm sure it wasn't easy for her.And our third panelist today is Ethan. Hello, Ethan.
Hello, Bill. Hi, guys. It's good to be here. And I'm excited to talk about her and her responsibilities that she's taken. I think it's amazing just how smart she has proven herself to be. She's involved in dealing with millions of dollars, handling contracts between players and the organization, trading players back and forth between teams, finding new talent to bring in. And the job she has done is just amazing.
And we see a picture there on page 12. There's a smiling Kim Ong. She certainly doesn't look like your typical baseball player.
Not in a suit, but she is wearing a nice leather jacket.
Very stylish.
Well, yes, and I think one of the neat things that I get the feeling from reading the article and looking at the different pictures of her is that she has a very...personal. She is very approachable. She seems like a person that you would just like to get to know, and I would think that this would help her in dealing with going between players. Yesterday we talked about arbitration, and that is a person who helps negotiate a difference between two people, and that having that laid-backness, the ability to be approachable would be very helpful for her in that.
She seems like she would be a very interesting person to meet because she must be a personable, very kind person, but she also has to be a bit of a tough cookie, as Bill was talking about, to rise up in the ranks and to deal with these kind of people. She can't do that with always having a smile on her face.
Well, let's do this. Let's see if she's smiling all day during her work day or if she's got a tougher job with our first reading. Let's learn a little bit more about Kim's work day.
Kim's workday begins in her offices at Dodger Stadium. When she's finished there, a second phase of her workday begins. Long before the night's game is underway, she adjourns to the general manager's box behind home plate, overlooking the playing field. With a laptop computer and a legal pad, she spends the rest of the evening observing and analyzing not only the performance of her own Dodgers, but also that of the opposing team's members.
Well, this certainly sounds real easy. Ethan, would you like her job?
I would not. I enjoy doing, as we talked about at the end of the program yesterday, there's video games where you can do the management side. But I'm sure in real life it's a very stressful position. And we see that as her workday begins, she has two phases or two parts of her job. She has to work even when the other players are out on the playing field playing in the evening.
Billy, you followed sports for many years. Do you know what a typical workday would be like for a manager or a general manager?
I don't know exactly what her workday might be like, but I'm sure she's dealing with a lot of agents, a lot of lawyers, as we've talked about, a lot of contracts and numbers. And they're always talking to each other, these general managers. They use their cell phones as much as anybody else, I'm sure, in any other business. And they're talking to each other, deciding what to do about their players and what is best for the future of their team.
My experience reading about managers of baseball teams or football coaches and then also the general managers, and Ethan made this point about two phases, a second phase, is that these people work really unbelievable hours.
They start
at maybe 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning, and they actually won't leave the stadium maybe until midnight. And so you're talking maybe a 17-hour day, watching film, evaluating players, and things like that.
We see on line 23 that long before the night's game is underway, she adjourns to the general manager's box behind home plate. And these games often won't start until 7 o'clock in the evening, and I'm sure she's put in a full day's work before that. So we can see that she's going to have a very long working day.
That's right, and the players are playing the game till about 10:30. That's a very long day. I would kind of compare a general manager's role along with maybe a stockbroker's role. The stockbroker is trying to manage these assets, these financial assets, and they work so many hours because they have to be on top of their game. They have to make sure they're making the decisions right at the right time, and so do general managers. So that's why they're always reviewing numbers. They're always reviewing players so they can make the right decision.
Right, and if you ever watch a Major League Baseball game, you can look behind the home plate, and there's a box, usually it's covered, and that's where the general manager sits, and that's where you'll find her if you hopefully ever get a chance to watch a Los Angeles Dodgers game.
That's right. We say she adjourns there before the game. And if you adjourn somewhere, it's to finish doing something and go somewhere else. So she's going to finish up her day at the office, and then she's going to move on and go sit behind home plate in the general manager's box.
And the general manager's box would be like the best seats in the stadium.
That's right. And I think I would love to adjourn to the general manager's box every day. But what we've talked about is that it's a lot of pressure being the assistant general manager. So it might sound like she's having fun, but she's making some hard decisions.
That's right. And when she does go to this general manager's box, I'm sure it's not just to watch the game. It says here that she has to take a laptop and a legal pad, and then she has to spend time analyzing while everyone else is just out there enjoying watching the game be played.
It seems like she needs to be with it more than 12 hours a day. Her work doesn't stop at 5 p.m. or 6. At 7:30, it starts again. And then afterwards, when she goes home, she probably checks the stats and other things on the computer as well.
I don't know if she has much of a social life.
Well, she probably doesn't sleep much either.
Yeah, she might not be dating. I don't know if she's married or not, but she probably wouldn't have time for any of that.
Well, she's obviously really committed to what she does, and you have to be to do such a good job in these kinds of positions.
Well, we see in line 26, with a laptop computer and a legal pad, she spends the rest of the evening observing and analyzing.
In this sentence here, we see a legal pad, and many people may not know what that is. It's just a pad. It's like a notebook or a pad of paper. Very often you'll see lawyers carry this. Very often they're a yellow color.
Right. I might be sitting there watching a baseball game in my seat. I'm eating a hot dog and drinking a Coke, and Kim Ong is going to be sitting there working very hard. I think what Billy said about her being like a stockbroker, these general managers and assistant general managers have to be constantly gathering data often the difference between getting a good player, and which ends up meaning winning or losing, is getting that one little key piece of information or a statistic about somebody.
That's right. And so we see she's observing and analyzing not only the performance of her team, but the opposing teams as well. And so she's gathering data because maybe she will want to trade for one of their players, or if they come up for free agency in the offseason, she will want to try and sign one of the players.
I'm curious how she got all the Asians, Japanese players and players from other parts of Asia, on these teams.
Well, that's a very good question, Esther. We're actually going to learn about that in our next reading. So let's go to Marcy.
The Asian Connection. Upon graduation from the University of Chicago, Kim went to work for the Chicago White Sox in arbitration and contract negotiations. At age 29, she was hired by the New York Yankees, making her the youngest assistant general manager in Major League Baseball. In 2001, the Los Angeles Dodgers brought her out to the West Coast. As part of her job, Kim has been personally involved in bringing Asian ball players to the Dodgers. In 2002, she went to Tokyo and signed pitcher Kazuhisa Ishii. In 2003, she helped coordinate the signing of Taiwanese shortstop Chin Long Hu. While Kim is totally immersed in a Western society, she remains fondly aware of her Chinese heritage. Kim understands a small bit of Cantonese, but regrets she can't speak or write much of the dialect. She loves to eat Chinese, but admits she can't cook as well as her grandmother did.
I had actually read as far as upon graduation from the University of Chicago, Kim went to work for the Chicago White Sox, and she actually did graduate from law school, so she is an attorney. And this is really a necessity when it comes into arbitration and contract negotiations.
Yes, and we talked about that yesterday, and arbitration is when there's a disagreement between how much the organization wants to play a player and how much the player wants. Then the person has to go in and help negotiate between the two sides what the player will be paid.
Negotiations between a ball player and the team have radically changed over the last 30 or 40 years. It used to be that the baseball player would simply walk into the front office of the president of the team, and the two of them would work out a number. And historically, it was unfair in a way because the ball players usually were these guys maybe who weren't the most educated people, maybe just out of high school or maybe high school dropouts, and they would negotiate a number with the owner who typically would have the upper hand as far as negotiating skills. But that all changed with free agency. And Billy, can you tell us a little bit about free agency?
Well, free agency now is when a player is in the free agent market and any team can bid on their services. Before, that wasn't possible. Only the player could deal with one certain team that they've been playing with for a while. And now that the markets open up, when you have different people bidding on one person's services, the price is going to go up. That's just economics 101.
And all of these different players will now have an agent who helps deal with all of their contract. And this is also probably someone who has gone to law school and been an attorney. So Kim Ong is not dealing directly with the players maybe in dealing with the contracts. She will be dealing with the agents and then the players.
Right. So that's where we get into the arbitration and contract negotiations that are mentioned in line 9. The players have their own agents, which are attorneys, and Kim Ong is an attorney. So you can imagine these two attorneys now are negotiating a baseball contract. So it's a very complicated process.
Right. And when she was 29, she was hired by the New York Yankees. This made her the youngest general manager in Major League Baseball. And I think 29 is pretty young because if you think about her going to university and then going to law school and getting a little bit of work experience, I'm sure that they saw that she was very qualified and she proved herself to be very good.
Certainly have to be very smart and have a strong intellect at age 29. And she went to work for the Yankees, which is a pretty big organization.
That's right. It's considered by many to be one of the top organizations in baseball. But I really feel like the reason that she's risen up so quickly, not only because of her talents and her skills, but because of her sense of purpose. She obviously set out to do this at a very young age, and now she's accomplished it.
Well, it's clear that she loves her job for the amount of time that she puts in. And then we see in the paragraph, the second paragraph, beginning in line 15, as part of her job, Kim has personally been involved in bringing Asian ball players.
That's right. And in 2002, she went to Tokyo, and she was the person that signed pitcher Kazuhisa Ishii. Maybe you see him in the news. And Billy, can you tell us a little more about this?
Kazuhisa Ishii is a relief pitcher now with the Dodgers, and he's a very good relief pitcher. Is that correct?
Yes, he is a very good relief pitcher. And I think the key to this is Kim was personally involved. She has made several trips to Asia to scout these players. And we talked about how the Dodgers have been revolutionary in this. They have actually taken the forefront in bringing these Asian players to the major leagues.
One, I think, too, we talk about at the beginning, the title of this section is The Asian Connection. And we can understand that being a Chinese American, she has a similar ethnicity to the Asians. And so it is almost like there is a bridge there that enables her then to approach these players and invite them to come back and play in the United States Major League Baseball.
The Dodgers have typically done that. They've had some other Asian executives, so I think it creates a comfort level for some of these players.
Right, and in 2002, she also helped coordinate the signing of a shortstop from Taiwan called Jing Long Hu.
That's right, and what I think we're going to find across Major League Baseball and across all Major League sports is that every club is going to need an Asian person to represent them in the Asian market because Asian players are becoming so valuable.
Well, I know that the Yankees, one of their key players right now is Hideki Matsui, who bats, I think he bats fourth for them, third or fourth for them right now.
Oh, he had a great year last year, and he's projected possibly to be an MVP candidate this year.
And he is the difference. He could be the difference between winning a World Series or not winning a World Series.
That's right. And the Yankees, they also have another player from Taiwan called Jingming Wang, who's also very good.
Right. So we're seeing that the need for worldwide scouting could be the difference between winning and losing a championship, which translates into millions of dollars.
And winning. Mm-hmm. And what clubs like about this international connection is that all these international players are automatically free agents. They don't have to wait for them to finish up with their teams. They can just pay a buyout with their team, and then they can sign them.
And with these international teams, lots of TV stations will buy airtime, and they'll make even more money.
That's a very good point, because then the local people from whatever country they're from want to watch them on TV, so it becomes big news to have their games on.
We've seen that with the Seattle Mariners and the Japanese television with Ichiro.
Mm-hmm. In the next paragraph, in the last column, in line 3, while Kim is totally immersed in a Western society, and that's an interesting word, Ethan, immersed.
Immersed means to be completely involved in something, and it's a verb. Literally, it means to be plunged into something, to be completely covered with something, and so you get the idea that she is totally involved in Western society.
You often will see immersed used in the English language.
That's right, and she may be different from some immigrants. Some immigrants who move to another country, they still stay mainly with the people from their ethnicity, or they maybe not learn a language as well. But I'm not sure about her, but maybe she grew up in the States, and she doesn't feel like she's not American. She feels like she's an American, but still, she remains finally aware of her Chinese heritage.
And what about being able to speak a small bit of Cantonese, but she regrets that she can't speak or write much of the dialect? What's a dialect, Billy?
Dialect is a language different from what others speak in that same region or country. Hmm. So Cantonese is a dialect in China, and she wishes she could speak more of it, I'm sure, so she could do more business in Asia.
That's right. When we talk about Chinese, there are many different Chinese languages. There is Mandarin Chinese, there is Cantonese, there is also Fujianese, and many other of these local dialects in the Chinese language. So it is almost difficult. Sometimes you can't understand across the different dialects.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's have our final reading and find out why Kim enjoys her job so much.
Dream job. To any sports fan, Kim Ong has a dream job. Kim is quick to admit she has a passion for her work. You can't work these kinds of hours and not love what you do, she says. Every day during the season is different. You have the chance to come to the ballpark and watch your club win. And, she says, winning is fun.
She's a lucky woman. But luck wasn't the only thing to do with her getting to that place in her career. She worked extremely hard. But when I say lucky woman, it could be a lucky woman or a lucky man. Anybody who can be working in a job with a passion to where they don't even have to look at their watch and see what time it is and wonder what time they're going to go home, if they can just become immersed in the job and enjoy it and just have so much fun. And she says you can't work these kind of hours and not love what you do.
Well, that's right. And we talked about probably that she's working 14, 16-hour days when they have games, that she works her desk job and then she probably goes to the game and she gets stats and then she has to analyze them. And if you are a normal person working 16-hour days, you would probably burn yourself out. But because she loves what she is doing so much, it's almost in some ways more like a hobby to her, which is not a stressful situation all the time.
We have talked about how hard her job is and how many hours she spends in her job and how much pressure she has in her job. But obviously she has a passion for the game and for a job. It's her dream job, they call it. And I think that's what allows her to have fun as well.
That's right. She says, every day during the season is different. You have the chance to come to the ballpark and watch a club win. And you can just tell from this that she absolutely loves what she's doing.
And she says, winning is fun. So it certainly is much more enjoyable. Maybe, I don't know if the team was losing. I guess it would still be enjoyable. But she's lucky and blessed that the team is a successful team. And maybe Kim Ong is a big reason why they're successful.
I was just going to say that she has played a major role in the forming of this ball club at this date. And so that's probably one of the reasons the ball club is doing well, is that she has been part of the management team.
That's right. We know that wherever you put your time, wherever you put your money, that's what you have a passion for. And she's obviously put her time and her money and all of her skills, poured it into the Dodger organization. So when they do well, she feels she's done well.
Yes, she's a woman with a sense of purpose.
Well, in our feature today, we've got a young woman with a sense of purpose. So let's find out.
Gail Storm, a freshman at Ohio State University, is meeting with her course advisor, Professor Morrison, to pick a major and schedule classes.
So, young lady, what are you interested in studying?
Sports management, sir. I want to learn about business, but I also love sports, so I thought I could combine the two of them and major in sports management.
Well, your enthusiasm is admirable, Miss Storm, but I don't think there are many opportunities for a woman to be an executive in sports. It's mostly men who run teams and sporting events. You know, a lot of ex-athletes.
Incorrect, Professor.
Excuse me, Miss Storm?
Sorry, Professor. I'm a little excited about this. But I did some research. Women are becoming executives in sports that are traditionally the domain of men. No longer are women limited to management roles in female sports.
Really? Tell me about this, Gail.
The head of the Athens Olympic Organizing Committee was a woman who served in the Greek Parliament. She helped pull off what many said would be an impossible task in staging a successful 2004 Olympic Games in Athens, Greece.
Yes, I saw her on TV last year during the Olympics.
Another woman, Val Ackerman, has been named the president of USA Basketball. That organization selects the men's Olympic team in addition to the women's team.
It seems like the Olympics are a good place for these women.
Other sports have women in the front offices too, Professor. The Los Angeles Dodgers have an assistant general manager by the name of Kim Ng. The L.A. Lakers vice president is Jeannie Buss. Yeah, she's the daughter of the owner, but executives around the league praise her management skill. And finally, the San Francisco 49ers have a female owner and a chairman, Denise DeBartolo York.
Well, Miss Storm, I can see that you have done your research on this, and you are very enthusiastic about it. Maybe I need to update my thinking on some career options for students.
Thanks, Professor. Let's get my schedule worked out.
Well, it's good to see that Kim's dreams have come true, and I wish her well as she continues to work in Major League Baseball.
And ladies, maybe you will be the next Kim Ng.
And I tip my hat to her as well. I think it's very impressive what she has done in that she has pushed and she has used her sense of purpose to accomplish something, and now she is what she wants to be. She is a VP and assistant general manager in a Major League Baseball team.
Well, it's very encouraging to see Kim Ng make such progress in the world of sports. We've seen women climb into positions in the corporate world, things such as being astronauts and be athletes. And so now it's nice to see a woman take a lead role in management of sports. And this just what it does is open the ideas and thoughts for all women to think of, well, this is possible. So for Advanced Magazine, we'll sign off for today. This has been your host, Bill Quinn.
This is Billy.
Esther.
And Ethan.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.